The days passed slowly and wearily. Often Thorin spoke of the Arkan Stone of Thrain and bade them eagerly to look for it in every corner.
"For the Arkan Stone of my father," he said, "is worth more than a river of gold in itself, and to me it is beyond price. I will be avenged on anyone who finds it and withholds it." Bilbo grew afraid, wondering what would happen if the stone was found, wrapped in an old bundle of tattered oddments that he used as a pillow. All the same, he did not speak of it, for the beginnings of a plan had come into his little head. Then the ravens brought news that Dane and more than 500 dwarves hurrying from the Iron Hills were now within about 2 days' march of Dale.
"But they cannot reach the mountain unmarked," said Roach, "and I fear lest there be a battle in the valley. I do not call this good counsel. Though they are a grim folk, they are not likely to overcome the host that besets you. The treasure is likely to be your death, though the dragon is no more."
But Thorin was not moved. "Winter and snow will bite men and elves, with my friends behind them and winter upon them. They will perhaps be in softer mood to parley with."
That night, Bilbo made up his mind. The sky was black and moonless. As soon as it was full dark, he went to a corner of an inner chamber just within the gate and drew from his bundle a rope and also the Arkan Stone wrapped in a rag. Then he climbed to the top of the wall. So that Bomba, who was on watch, should not see him, Bilbo put on his ring, fastened his rope, slipped down over the wall, and was gone. He climbed down towards the lower course of the stream. He was nearly across when he missed his footing and fell into the cold water with a splash. He had barely scrambled out on the far bank, shivering and spluttering, when up came elves in the gloom with bright lanterns and searched for the cause of the noise. "That was no fish," one said. "There is a spy about. Hide your lights."
"Oh, let's have a light," Bilbo said. "I'm here if you want me."
And he slipped off his ring and popped from behind a rock. They seized him quickly in spite of their surprise.
"Who are you? Are you the dwarves, Hobbit? What are you doing? How did you get so far past our sentinels?"
"I am Mr. Bilbo Baggins, companion of Thorin, if you want to know. I know your king well by sight, but it is Bard I particularly want to see."
Some 2 hours after his escape from the gate, Bilbo was sitting beside a warm fire in front of a large tent, and there sat two, gazing curiously at him, both the Elven King and Bard.
"Really, you know," Bilbo was saying in his best business manner, "things are impossible. Personally, I am tired of the whole affair. I wish I was back in the West in my own home, where folks are more reasonable. But I have an interest in this matter. 1/14th share, to be precise. Personally, I am only too ready to consider all your claims carefully and deduct what is right from the total before putting in my own claim. However, you don't know Thorin Oakenshield as well as I do now. I assure you he is quite ready to sit on a heap of gold and starve as long as you sit here."
"Well, let him," said Bard. "Such a fool deserves to starve."
"Quite so. At the same time, winter is coming on fast. Also, there will be other difficulties. You have not heard of Dane and the dwarves of the Iron Hills?"
"We have, a long time ago. But what has that to do with us?" asked the king.
"Dane, I may tell you, is no less than 2 days' march off, and has at least 500 grim dwarves with him. When they arrive, there may be serious trouble."
"Why do you tell us this? Are you betraying your friends, or are you threatening us?" asked Bard grimly.
"My dear Bard, I am merely trying to avoid trouble for all concerned. Now, I will make you an offer."
"Let us hear it," they said.
"You may see it. It is this."
And he drew forth the Arkan Stone. The Elven King stood up in amazement. Even Bard gazed, marveling at it in silence. It was as if a globe had been filled with moonlight and hung before them in a net woven of the glint of frosty stars.
"This is the Arkan Stone of Thrain," said Bilbo, "the heart of the mountain, and it is also the heart of Thorin. He values it above a river of gold. I give it to you. It will aid you in your bargaining."
"But how is it yours to give?"
Bard asked at last with an effort.
"Oh, well,
It isn't exactly, but, well, I am willing to let it stand against all my claim. Anyway, I'm going back now, and the dwarves can do what they like to me. I hope you'll find it useful.
The Elven King looked at Bilbo with a new wonder.
Bilbo Baggins, you are more worthy to wear the armor of elf princes than many that have looked more comely in it. But I wonder if Thorin Oakenshield will see it so. I advise you to remain with us, and here you shall be honored and thrice welcome.
Thank you very much, I'm sure, said Bilbo with a bow. But I don't think I ought to leave my friends like this, after all we've gone through together. Really, I must be going, and quickly.
As Bilbo and his escort passed through the camp, an old man, wrapped in a dark cloak, rose from a tent door.
Well done, Mr. Baggins, he said,
clapping Bilbo on the back.
There is always more about you than anyone expects. It was Gandalf. There is an unpleasant time just in front of you, but keep your heart up. You may come through all right. There is news brewing that even the ravens have not heard. Good night.